Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Do entrepreneurs have ADD or ADHD? That is an interesting question. We're going to get onto that topic as well as how it may be a hidden superpower. I have with me a special guest today, all the way from Canada. And Andre, welcome.
Thanks, Carrie. It's good to see you again. Always a pleasure to chat.
Yeah. So say your last name so I get it 100%.
It is Andre Brisson. Or André Brisson.
Oh, I love that. Canadian little. Now, are you in the Canada part where they also have French Canadian?
I'm more in the Anglophone area, but yeah, I'm originally a French Canadian from a Francophone area. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We took a family vacation back in 2018 where we did the whole like Montreal and Quebec and all that. It was amazing.
I have family in Quebec and Montreal as well.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Well, listen, ADD, ADHD, give us your story, man. Like, was this a diagnosis? Was this something you always knew that you struggled with? Let's get into this topic.
In short, I've always struggled with it. I did not know it was ADHD until I had a life tempest. That's the unfortunate thing with ADHD. It's always diagnosed when things aren't going well. But the one thing I did know, I was always different and unique to everyone and always felt like an outsider.
Okay.
But I always believed what I knew was true, but I could not explain it.
Ah.
And would figure, and then no one would accept it. So it kind of ended up blending with the crowd and creating a character to fit in.
Ooh.
And then for 44 years, I played that character very, very well. To the point where I lost myself.
Wow.
Right.
What were characteristics of this persona?
So the persona is just like you're following the crowd to do all the social norms to like I'm a trained engineer, so being very procedural, following the steps, the way I come up with solutions ideas makes no sense to anyone. So that throws off a lot of engineers because it's not in a book. It's not easily figured out. I just see things differently. So I'd have to justify or change my reactions and the way I solve solutions so everyone else feels okay with the difference.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I get it, man. I mean, I get it in a different way.
Well, entrepreneurs has the same driven people, entrepreneurs have the same feeling because we're also outsiders. We don't fit the norm of everyone else. So let's add on the ADHD.
Yeah.
And then also I've been diagnosed with autism as well. So let's add the social factor on it. And I actually became sociable. All these social norms that makes no sense to my brain, I have to make a cognitive effort to be social, to do this, because this is what's dictated. Right. A lot of people say I'm unemotional. I have no emotions when I make decisions. Well, it's true. I can actually, my autism helps me separate emotion from rationality and facts. It's not that I'm heartless. It's just I can separate it and make the right call without emotions involved.
Interesting. Okay. This makes sense. So basically you go through life, you knew you were different, but you didn't have a label or verbs or
I didn't have vocabulary.
That's it. So you didn't have vocabulary around it. And so you basically took that and then became a character to fit in.
Right.
But it was tearing you up inside. And that's probably a few years ago when I met you, you just seem a lot lighter and happier now. But back when I met you, maybe you were kind of going through this.
Oh, no. Yeah. When we first met, I was in the middle of the life tempest. I was not in a good spot. So business went bad. Family just like had three perfect storms colliding at once. And I needed help. I needed to figure something out because I believed I was something was wrong with me and I'm not a nice person. But what actually happened was I lost track of myself. I got lost for a few years and I rediscovered myself. So that's when I got the diagnosis with ADHD, autism, Then discovered my parents didn't want me to be identified as gifted because that would not look good in the blue collar crowd. So that has its own complexities because my daughter was identified gifted as well, my wife. So it's just all this stuff coming together. It's just, yeah, you're completely different, dude. And there's nothing wrong with you. Right. So that gave me validation.
Yeah. Interesting. And so this was, give us a date. Was this around 2020, 21?
2019, 2018, 2019, when I finally got the diagnosis. So I wasn't pleasant to be around for about 3-4 years.
Gotcha. Okay. So in some ways you were hopeful, but in other ways you realized, man, I got to go through the dark night of the soul to figure this out.
No, I went to fix a massive problem with me. Mm. I believe something was completely wrong with me and I needed that to get fixed. Like even like I had no respect for myself. I had no care for myself or love for myself. So I must be evil. I must be something so bad must be fixed is when I've got into it. And I just remember one of those times was I was screaming and yelling at my kids for no reason. My brain was telling me, settle down, buddy. Mm. But my other side of my brain said, I really don't care right now. It was just a full lash out of the world. I just had enough. That's what happened. Wow. When I saw their reaction, I saw me there going, crap. I'm like, my parents, something's off. So that's when I went and got the help.
Wow.
Because of my kids.
That's courageous, man. Like, not many people are willing to, first of all, go through it. And then second of all, talk about it.
Yeah. Then I started therapy, started dealing with a psychiatrist. I thought it was something worse. And then when he came out with those four letters, it's ADHD, man, severe. You should not have graduated university. You should not have successful businesses, but you figured something out over your lifetime. And I said, no way. There's no way those four letters makes my whole life make sense. And the thing is, I've been researching ADHD for a while. I kind of wondered and looked at different things. But after a while, once I got over the grieving, you know, the seven steps of was it grieving or whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
I finally got accepted. I really went into therapy, mental health, because all that, you know, 44 years of being crapped on and told you're wrong. You know, I always got in trouble for how I did things, not for achieving the results or not achieving results.
Hmm.
Right. So after a while, you start believing that. So I had to get all that reframe out of the way and got, you know, group therapy, individual therapy. Part where like really deep down stuff, finding out that it's emotional neglect, childhood trauma that really got me to where I was and where I was triggering. That's what kids were triggering my old little Andre self who's out there to protect me. And then I had to start talking to him and settle down, dude. I'm safe.
Interesting. So you take all this knowledge, you then turn it into a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, I researched the crap out of ADHD and everything else. Hyper-focused on that for a couple of years.
And created the podcast. What is the podcast called?
It's called The Impulsive Thinker, the podcast for the high-achieving ADHD entrepreneur. Because that's an interesting thing too, Carrie, is
interesting.
When I learned I had ADHD, I started looking for a community. So I've joined some Facebook groups and some other communities and yeah, there's kind of like similarities. It's kind of cool. Like I'm kind of understood, but I still felt like an outcast. I was still the oddball. And I'm going, why? Because the traditional thinking in ADHD is everyone's lazy, stupid, or dumb.
Gotcha.
And the lazy part, even the ADHD community says, well, we don't have motivation. It's hard for us to stay motivated or interested, but that's an excuse. ADHD for me was an explanation.
Yeah.
So everyone's saying, I can't do this. I can't do things during the day. I'm like, well, I'm setting goals. I'm achieving them. I'm moving forward with my company. So what's going on? Then I started looking more into the high achiever side, the entrepreneurial side. Like we, you know, me and you with the strategic coach family, we're an entrepreneurial growth mindset people.
Yeah.
We're never happy. It's not that we don't happy what we have. It's there's always something better.
Mm.
So while there's other entrepreneurs, you know, they own their job or they're just happy where they're at. There's that other level. So I try to research that with ADHD. There's nothing out there. Nothing was out there for the high achiever, the one that is moving things forward. And since I have that high achieving mentality or mindset, that is just like a snowball going down a big mountain cliff. Just not, it was uncontrollable.
I like the quote that you just said, though. I'm going to remember that forever.
Well, I don't remember it.
High, or you said ADHD mm-hmm. is an explanation, not an excuse.
Correct.
That's deep, man. Like that.
It's anyone else's weaknesses or strengths. Your weaknesses is an explanation, not an excuse not to do something.
I think there's going to be people who watch this that say, oh my gosh, this is helpful for me, or it's helpful for my kid or my nephew or my niece.
Right.
Is it more a male thing or female in your research, or is it equal?
It's both. It's yeah. And women are getting more diagnosed day to day because now it's no longer seen as only a young boy, hyperactive young boy thing. And just to go back on that explanation excuse, it's one of my brother's buddies. He has cerebral palsy. He was in a wheelchair. And I'll never forget this experience. He goes, I'm not a handicapped person because I don't see this chair as a problem. I don't understand how you two-leggers can stand up all day. I get to sit all day.
Two-leggers, right? That's good, yeah.
So he didn't see himself in a wheelchair as being a disability.
Wow.
Right? He had different sets of challenges.
Yeah.
But everyone has their own sets of challenges, and that's where I saw the difference. So I'm a learner. You know this. I just love to devour complex information, and I have a way to simplify things. So I decide to start talking to smart, intellectual people because the gifted side for me has to be intellectually stimulating as well.
Okay.
While I didn't do that for a while. So if I can bring on smart people to talk about the high-achieving entrepreneurial ADHD world experience, I can get that information out.
Yeah,
and then I'm letting all the listeners in eavesdrop on the conversation because, like, I think you're the one that told me is when I'm with you, Andre, I learn. When you learn, I learn.
Mm.
So I'm like, now everyone gets to eavesdrop. So that's why I started the podcast. Then I've got the Tactical Breakthroughs Company coaching program for high achieving ADHD entrepreneurs so they can work on their own transformation and self-acceptance.
Wow. So you went from what was your either past business or maybe you still have it, but what was the thing you were doing before?
I'm a structural engineer by trade, and I have a structural a unique niche market structural engineering firm in Canada. So I went from that to just understanding the nuances. And the same thing, I always understood the nuances between different things. So I used the different assessments, the Colby assessment, Strength Finders, Clifton Strengths, and the print.
Yep.
And I can see how those three work together, but as well with the ADHD or other people's talents and strengths.
So do you still have the structural engineer thing or did you fully leave?
I still have it at this point.
Wow.
But this is like, it's kind of like we talk about this, right? The four freedoms, the one is purpose. After, 20 some years in the business, is like the purpose here is to help other people gain a better understanding of themselves so they can accept themselves and then set up proper boundary, assertive boundaries and protections and stop doing what's normal. Hate to use the term, but the social norm, right?
Yeah.
I should do this because, but you know what? You are a quick start. You are the idea person. Nothing wrong with that, right? Or you don't follow the rules or the procedures because you find different ways to get there quicker. Nothing wrong with that. That's the way you are. You know, you can't remember stuff because you're working memory. And the other thing I really brought in, it's a brain thing.
Huh.
So I got an ADHD simplified model. Everyone's worried about the traditional symptoms from the DSM. So they got, inattention, hyperactivity, impulsivity, and emotional dysregulation. Then I started to see those things are caused by three basic things. So the ADHD simplified model is ADHD is an executive functioning deficit. Our brain is not fully wired or wired effectively to work well with our executive functioning, which is working memory, planning, setting goals. The second part is time blindness. We can't see the future. We have a hard time with the future. I have a very narrow time horizon. It's a week. Anything beyond a week feels like 2 years, 100 years. So if you say let's meet in 3 months, no problem, Kerry. To me, that is so far down the line, I don't care.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the third part is the brain has an inhibition challenge.
Mm.
the impulsivity. It's just the prefrontal cortex, the wiring is just not fully there so that we impulsively act. And the other analogy I like is from Dr. Hartman, is we are hunters in a farming world. So we're hunters. We want to be impulsive because if that grass twitches, we want to react immediately, not sit there and think, well, what could it be? And what? And all of a sudden the tiger eats us, right? So the farming world, everything's set up, go slow and slow, and just our brain's not wired for it.
Interesting. Wow. Talking with you is helping me even think through my own, because I would say I've never been called ADD, ADHD. I don't think I am. I think what I am more wired to is like almost a impulse OCD. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got your quick start, right? You're along quick start, a huge inquest. So that's where a lot of times people are saying, you know, the other misnomer is all ADHD people are entrepreneurs. That's not true. There's a lot of ADHD people that like the structure of someone else implied on them. ADHD really is receptive to structure, a loose structure. And if there's if I don't understand what's going on and it's less chaotic, I can get stuff done. So not all ADHD people are entrepreneurs. I think entrepreneurs are like the ones we hang out with. Oh, yeah. We're wired differently and we have the similar traits. Hmm. Like even driven people, like your Navy SEALs or the people that are looking for high stimulation.
Right.
They got a lot of similar traits, but it's not ADHD, because ADHD is a chronic condition, meaning even it's there all the time, no matter what. Even if the system's in place, it's still there. There's still that little bit of a challenge. While other people, like with depression, anxiety, if they're like they got similar symptoms, but if they got a depression and anxiety is taken care of, then those symptoms disappear.
Interesting.
Right. So with the driven, high achieving entrepreneur, if you got a good system around you, then it's no longer a challenge because the system's created. Well, before you're putting out fires. There's a difference between putting out fires and having a structure around you. I don't know if that helps you make sense. But with your quick start, you want to, you know, you're always brainstorming, improvising. Oh, yeah. And then people say, oh, that's the impulsive ADHD side. No, that's actually the quick start.
Gotcha.
Because I have seen, like, you, if I listen to you brainstorm, improvise, you will to a point, like, all your mental energy for quick start will stop. And then you'll go, oh, I'm done. But the ADHD brain doesn't do that. It keeps going.
Yeah, that makes sense. So somebody who's listening to this and they are trying to help out their kid, their nephew, maybe even themselves, what are some of the superpowers? So we've talked about maybe some of the challenges and the struggles. Where does an ADD, ADHD person excel?
Well, the one thing I want to clarify, I think everyone, no matter what, who they are or neurotypical or neurodivergent, everyone has superpowers, right? It's just with the ADHD neurodivergent world is those, I like to call them more strengths and talents than superpowers. It's just the ADHD talents and strengths are not socially accepted. They're different.
Okay.
Right. The biggest thing people come, like, I have to always to constantly explain how I got to the conclusion. They will not accept that I just jumped a chasm to the right conclusion.
It's like you got to understand how I got there. It's like,
yeah. And it's not linear.
Gotcha.
The ADHD brain is not linear.
Yeah.
It doesn't go 1, 2, 3. It's like I can have a conversation with you and all of a sudden five conversations ago with two different people, all of a sudden, boom, boom, comes together. Boom. It's in front of me. Done.
Interesting.
Right? It's not like me and you talked, and then as we talked, I got to there. It's just like, well, maybe something you just kind of said differently got me to remember something else from the past, from that conversation to this project. Boom. Oh, now I see a direction.
Yeah.
That throws people off. The impulsivity side, you know, especially with the autism side, you know, if you're going to ask me how I feel, I will tell you exactly how I feel. If I'm feeling crappy that day, I'll say I'm feeling crappy. But the social norm is you don't let people know you feel crappy because it makes them feel crappy. So you're supposed to do a white lie. So I'm doing everything's fine.
Interesting. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
The unemotional side, you know, I got accused all the time of being heartless because at funerals, I don't cry. I'm sad. It's just, I'm not emotive.
Yeah.
unless my ADHD side really becomes emotive. But there's a lot of those subtle differences. So for the ADHD child, a lot of times it's impulsivity. They don't stop. You ask them four or five things to do, they forget three because their working memory only can hold three. So the fourth and fifth you add on pushes off the first two.
Gotcha.
Inattention. It's not that they're not paying attention. Is maybe they don't care or there's no interest. Or if they're in hyper-focus, they honestly, we can't hear anything. We're into that flow. The world is quiet. Everything is slowed down. Like my wife even said, she's had to hit me a few times to get me out. And you know what? I will react and be upset because you just got me out of this flow state that took me 45 minutes to get into or 2 hours. Right?
That's interesting.
So with my daughter, she's also identified as ADHD. We would have to say, like my wife got upset because she wasn't coming down for dinner on the first call. I said, the first call wakes them up a little bit. If how deep of the hyper-focus they're in, you might have to do 2, 3, 4. So the first one startles them out. Then you repeat it again. Now they'll hear it.
So you're giving us like parenting tips.
That's how you should deal with me. If I'm in the flow, so my wife now will actually tap me on the shoulder until I actually turn around and look up.
Wow.
Then she starts talking because now I'm actually going to hear. It's not talk behind me or your child and start saying, hey, you want to do this, especially like video games for kids or if they're on their device. You got to snap them out of the hyperfocus so they can receive the information.
Wow.
And the other thing, too, is the ADHD brain, not too sure why, but we feel emotions intensely, immediately, and raw. So it's almost as if it's 100 to 1,000 times more we feel these emotions intensely. And it's immediate and raw. So since our brain has a challenge inhibiting, saying, hey, whoa, before you react, let's check this stuff out.
Yeah.
Like I tell people, ignore my first facial reaction. That's my immediate. The thing is now I got to let my brain catch up, say, well, it's really not big of a deal now. And then it'll be like, you know, you'll be like, I don't know if the viewers can see, I have a big startled face or, I'm frustrated face. 2, 3. Okay, that's good. So ignore the first one. Let my brain catch up. So the challenge there is not to vocally react like I used to in the past. So those are some of the challenges and just work it out. And once people understand this and you can communicate that, people get to understand it. It's not just say it's my, I hate it when people say it's just my ADHD, my autism and cross their arms and that's just the way it is. No, I don't want people to start using these terms like fact finder, quick start or ADHD is explain it. So a lot of guys in my office were upset because when they came in, they say hello and I wouldn't say hello back.
Okay.
So what I started communicating is, okay, guys, when I'm in hyper focus, if I say hi to you, I break that and it's going to take me another hour, 2 hours to get back into it. So I don't want to break my hyper focus. I want to finish what I'm doing. Then I'll go say hi. And then after they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So they see me, hey, Andre, don't react. They know it's hyper-focus. They go. So just that one little communication, now it's like, oh, okay, he's not ignoring us and being moody. It's just he's doing something.
Here's what I see. I see you, Andre, going into a massive self-awareness where prior to this, like you said, you didn't have tools, you didn't have vocabulary, and so it was tough for you to maybe relate with people. And so I see that your relationships have improved because it's given you tools to articulate the nuances of how you're wired. What do you think?
Agree, but to me first.
You had to like speak to yourself.
I hated myself. I never liked myself. do you think I enjoyed having these emotional, impulsive explosions? I was at the end of my rope. Right? So now you explode and you're like, oh man, you know, I freaked out. I'm upset for everyone else, but now I hate myself more because I did this. And everyone says, well, that's the wrong thing to do. You do. And then you're like, oh, that's even worse. So once I in a way, during one of my therapy sessions, I journaled before the group sessions. Next thing I knew, I was bawling. At the bottom of the line, I wrote, I forgive you, Andre, for the past. That's me writing to me. I was actually hard on myself for not figuring this out earlier. So once I forgave myself, now it's more open. So now that I'm loving myself and liking myself better, it makes it easier for the relationships to reciprocate.
Yeah.
It's because before I wasn't allowing people in.
I like where you're going with this. I like the journaling. You know, I'm obviously a publisher, but journaling has really helped me in my own journey. Listen, man, we're landing the plane here. We're at the mark.
So
here,
already,
it went fast. But listen, give us some. I know you told us the title, but give us like a little bit more as we close. Like how to connect, URL. What if someone's interested in your coaching? Mm-hmm. Give us some of that stuff.
The company name is Tactical Breakthroughs from the Impulsive Thinker. So the website is tacticalbts.com. You can also get a link there to the podcast, which is The Impulsive Thinker.
Yeah.
And you can connect me through there or send me an email at Andre, A-N-D-R-E, at tacticalbts.com, or find me on LinkedIn. You know, I'm looking for great people to have conversations with and willing to share everything I've learned and figured out so that everyone can grow
and
understand themselves better.
I love it. This is a great website, tacticalbts.com. If you're listening on audio only, B as in boy, T as in Tom, S as in Sam. And I'm there right now. And I see programs, podcasts, events, blogs, speaking. Man, I love how you've taken this journey. Some people would say that, you know, it was difficult and I get it, but what you're able to offer people now, because you've gone through the pain, is huge.
And that's the other thing that I didn't plan on originally with the podcast, but mental health is a big one. I push that a lot, especially with men and entrepreneurs. It's not easy work. You got to get through pain to go beyond. So it's not easy. There's no magical pill. Even if you got medication, it still requires something else, therapy. And to get to where I'm at was not easy, was not fun, but it is hard work, but that's the only way to do it, to get free of the past.
Proud of you, man.
Thank you.
You I see you on the other side. I knew you before. You were a good guy before, but I do see you at a higher level. And so
thank you,
Andre Brisson from Canada. Check it out, folks. And thanks for being here today.
I appreciate having me to share the story. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.